Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 17th till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. It's good to have you here. Thank you for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. I'm excited about having Liz Franklin back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Liz is one of our organization experts. Liz is the author of How to Get Organized Without Resorting to Arson. And I like that title. And she's going to give it her best shot, folks. She's still working hard trying to get me to get organized. And I'm working on it. It's not that I'm so unorganized. I'm just a little bit sloppy. Liz, welcome back to the show.
And that means you're a visionary and you have more interest, therefore you have more stuff.
I do. I don't mind a little clutter. I don't look at clutter. I'm focused on the results, and a little bit of clutter doesn't bother me. Is that a bad thing?
No, it's not a bad thing. It means you're busy. I jokingly say that the only people who can have a clean desk are people who delegate, people who are on vacation, and people who are mentally absent.
Well, even delegators, you know, I used to work with a guy whose desk was always clean. He never left anything on his desk at night. And, of course, you know, I guess if you work at a major corporation, if you can't lock your room, you can't, your office necessarily, you shouldn't do that. But, of course, my office is... You know, nobody comes in here except me and my folks, and so I'm comfortable with a little clutter. Can I still be organized if I'm comfortable with a little clutter?
Well, sure. All we have to do, Jim, is redefine organized. So for some people,
just
organized.
Just for me, right? You're going to create a whole new definition just for me, right?
Just for you, right? I'm going to call it the Blasingame condition.
There you go.
There you go. Well, for most people, organization is visual, and we think that's nice. That's what we call the first level. And for that, I recommend hiring a decorator, because if all you care about is how it looks, then that is on the level of design and decoration, which is a good thing. But to me, it's not everything. To me, everything, the definition of organization for everything, is having a core system that functions well so you can develop a rhythm in your business. The paperwork comes in, whether it's orders, requests, whatever it is, gets processed, goes out again in a timely fashion and in a financially feasible way. So if all that is happening well, there's a rhythm, business is making money, the paperwork washes in like a wave, cycles through the tide pool and washes out again, how it looks is secondary. Mm-hmm. So you can see if we put the emphasis on clean your desk every night, and not enough emphasis on financial feasibility, you can see right away where the problem would be.
Well, exactly. And the challenge that I have is that sometimes my clutter becomes unproductive.
That's right. And you'll find, this is one of the most interesting things about my career, you'll find sometimes that has to do with the furniture layout.
Yeah.
Isn't that different? The way you lay out your furniture can make a complete difference. And it's so true that I've been able to organize real problem offices in a couple of hours by moving the furniture. Now think about it. If you have water, as we said, the tide of paper, and paper flow is like water flow, the tide of paper washes in. If it goes into a backwater or a part of your office where it's not likely to move out again, it stagnates there and becomes like a stagnant pool of water. Now, I know this sounds kind of woo-woo, but check it out. It's really true. And think about water flooding into your office. If water flooded in, where would it end up? Mm-hmm. If it stagnated or if it couldn't get out of a corner, and you'll find that's where the paper stacks
are. It would
all
wind up on top of my desk is where it would sit. The water would go.
Right. So one of the tricks that we use is to give you three desks or three thin tables, because often three desks are too big. So get three tables around you in a U-shape, which emulates the movement of your arms.
Right.
And then think about whether you want things to come in on your right and go to the left, or come in on your left and go to the right.
And wherever the paper is going, at the end of that table, there's a huge wastebasket, right?
Exactly. Wastebasket, recycle, filing, shredder. So you start with it coming in on one side and think about what I call the workstations. The first thing you're going to do is look at it. Then you're going to sort it out. Then you're going to put it into the computer or make a phone call or copy something or fax something. Then you're going to maybe hold it if you're awaiting a response. And then finally, trash, file, recycle, or shredding. Mm-hmm. So if you set up those stations on your desk in that order, you'll find that you develop a smoother workflow. It's fascinating to me. It's a very spatial technique that works very, very well.
Do you think the younger generations are going to have as much paper as I do?
I think they'll have more.
Really?
More because
they don't
more
seem
activity.
They don't seem to be managing paper as much as I do. They seem to be doing a lot more. I've got a lot of electronic information in my office, but I do still like my paper, and I wonder about these young kids with, you know, doing all the texting and the IMing and everything. I just wonder if they're going to be a lot more comfortable with bits than they are with sheets of paper.
Well, I think yes to a point, and I'm from Silicon Valley. I don't know if you know that, but I was raised there. Mm-hmm. And I watch things like, every now and then an article comes out about the paperless office. And I've met a few people who said they did it and they're happy with it. But what I find is everybody in that office is the same personality type, which is not paper-oriented.
No, that's not
like
good.
Right. And what we're finding now, and even in Silicon Valley, paper is in. All the handheld devices, personal assistants, data assistants, are on the outswing because people are realizing, well, you can put two Palm Pilots together and you can send me your resume in a second. You can't give me a blueprint architectural plan that we can open up on a 2-inch screen. You can't do it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Stand by. Liz Franklin, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. She is the author of How to Get Organized Without Resorting to Arson, and she and I will be back. By the way, she is a CA. That means cubicle anthropologist. Stick with us. It's 10 till. I'll be right back.
I don't care where it goes.
Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Liz Franklin, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's the author of How to Get Organized Without Resorting to Arson. And Liz, we know what the title of the book is, but we need to know where we can find it.
All righty. You can find it on my website, MsLizOnBiz.com. And we're also giving away free weekly tips if you sign up there. Now, you have to go through a couple steps with your email address, but please bear with us. That's so we have a security on things. So, again,
right.
That's MsLizOnBiz.com, and that's MizLizOnBiz, MsLizOnBiz.com.
Check that out, folks, when you get a chance. And also, your book, I know, is there, but it's also available wherever books are sold. And we encourage you to check it out, folks. How to Get Organized Without Resorting to Arson. Okay, what else? You know, the reason I asked the question about the younger generations is they're the people we're hiring these days.
Yes, and some people are hiring us older folks, as I call us. I won't give numbers here, but
right.
Added up, we come to well over 100 years. And what we're finding is, there's an article in our local paper this morning, that the corporations are not able to find younger people who have the sense of discipline that they can get with older workers and sometimes foreign workers.
Mm.
So we're watching that statistic very closely. If we can't hire American workers that are young because they are not disciplined, because they rebel at taking requests from supervisors, we've got a serious problem in this country. So everybody who's listening, I would like you very much to pay attention to this question. And if you supervise young people or if you have an opinion on that, let us know. Go to our website, MsLizOnBiz.com, and let us know. We need to work on this problem of training the younger workers that they are part of a group, whether it be a family company or a corporation. They're part of a group and that their input makes sense and it's valued, but they cannot be the one rebel that's going to try to take the whole company down and still expect to be employed. It just doesn't work that way.
Do you think that part of this is coming from and we joke about, you know, it's all about me or whatever, but we've got a couple of generations coming up here, the two younger generations that to a large degree, I mean, they've grown up being told that it was all about them.
Unfortunately, that's true, and we're going to see a serious fallout from that. A lot of people who can't find jobs but who will demand jobs as though they are I don't know, rocks or something that can simply be handed to them. And we're going to find fallout, as we have already seen, with jobs being farmed out of this country. And we're going to find fallout economically from that. So we really need to take a look at that now.
And if you are a young person who... And by the way, Liz, you and I both know plenty of people in these younger generations who are not like that. I mean, their families have explained to them, you know, the world doesn't owe you a lunch, and you have to work for it. You have to say, you know, yes, sir, and no ma'am to you know, a lot of different people. Those people, I think, are going to have a competitive advantage, don't you?
Absolutely. And you and I had to do that when we were younger. And I don't know about you. I was one of the rebels. I was going to change the system from within and make the tacos the way I thought they should be made at the taco stand at my first job. And it doesn't fly. It just doesn't fly. So I'm not speaking down
I'm having this visual, Liz, of you with a little paper cap on.
That's right.
And your little name tag and your apron, you're making a talk. Of course, I've got your picture here. I'm just imagining you putting a little salsa on the taco there and doing it, you know, backwards or something. I can see that.
Right. Well, that was just to make my hippie statement, you see. So you subtract 30 pounds in 30 years from that picture, you're probably accurate. Well, okay, 40 years.
I got you. So all right, we got about a minute left. What's the last stuff we need to know about organization?
Well, there's a lot I want to have people go and take a look at that book because it has a step-by-step guide. But I just want to say for everybody who feels humiliated or embarrassed because they're disorganized, if you are organized in one location, for example, home, and not in the other, for example, office, it's not your fault. Think about it. If you're organized in one location but not the other, you are not the source of the problem. So I encourage people to find the source of the problem, whether it be the furniture layout, whether it be someone else calling them names, or whether it be just an inaccurate picture of what organization really is, and work from the core, not just the appearance.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Good information. But that's not easy to do, is it?
Takes a few steps. Think about how long it took to get into that condition, and you'll have an estimate of how long it takes to get out of it.
I never thought about it like that.
Mm-hmm. Broken leg doesn't heal overnight.
Yeah, exactly. That takes a little self-analysis, though, doesn't it, sometimes?
If you want it to stick, yes, it does.
Yeah,
otherwise, it's decorating, which isn't bad, but it isn't going to change anything.
It's not going to change. It's not going to make you more productive. Decoration does not make it more productive, does it? Hey, Liz, thank you for being here.
Well said. May I use that? That's terrific.
Give us that website again, please.
It is MsLizOnBiz.com. That's Amazon Mary I-Z. L as in Lucy, I-Z-O-N-B-I-Z. MsLizOnBiz.com.
Thanks,
Sign
Liz.
Up for your weekly tips.
We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.